As immigration enforcement ramps up, it's not just immigrants who are affected. Many local police departments depend on a neighborhood's trust. But an increased ICE presence in an immigrant community can sometimes make it harder for the police to do their job. One place where tensions between law enforcement and ICE are reaching a boiling point is in El Paso, Texas. I wanted to find out exactly what this looks like, so I went there. That's where I met reporter Jonathan Hirsch, and we immediately took a drive.
Okay. So that, like, right there,
that's,
like, the border.
Yeah, we're right alongside it.
We're driving towards downtown El Paso, and the border fence actually hugs the interstate. Just beyond the fence, Ciudad Juarez. This is typical El Paso. You can't go more than a couple of blocks in this city without being reminded of its location, always by Mexico's side, so much so that it's hard to tell where one begins and the other ends.
El Paso is mostly Latino, nearly 80% Latino, and roughly 1 in 5 El Pasoans identify as foreign nationals. So even if you're not undocumented, you're likely to know somebody who is, or somebody who's living here under a tourist visa. That's partially because Ciudad Juarez is a major trading partner with El Paso. Many live on one side of the border and work on the other.
And like all other things in El Paso, law enforcement plays a unique role in this border city.
How are you doing, Robert Flores? Nice to meet you, Commander. How are you doing, Robert Flores?
This is Commander Flores. He has an office on the second floor.
We'll go up to the office. It's
a little cooler. You have a vest on?
Yeah. I'm just a fat guy.
Flores has worked in law enforcement for over 25 years. Before we showed up, Flores was getting pumped up by listening to some of his favorite jams.
Okay, what's the music that we're hearing?
Well, I'm about to kill it.
That's like some hardcore rock.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big Metallica fan.
He's a laid-back dude, but he takes law enforcement's role as a support system within this community very seriously.
We take care of our public safety issues here. That's why we're one of the safest communities in the country. We don't have nearly the violent crime rate that other cities have.
Part of what makes El Paso so safe, Flores says, is this close relationship between law enforcement and the community. They're used to neighborhood policing, which basically means that your local police officer hangs out, gets to know your neighborhood, and generally develops bonds with the community. It's part of what makes cops good at their jobs. They can know what normal looks like, so when something out of the ordinary happens, they notice. It's built on trust. But recently, that trust has been tested by a new state law, known as SB 4, that requires police officers to do the job of immigration agents or face serious consequences from the state.
The bill, signed into law by Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott, penalizes cities whose police officers don't perform certain duties once reserved for Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Like, for example, asking about a person's immigration status at a routine traffic stop. If you're familiar with Arizona's famous SB 1070 or the Show Me Your Papers law, it's kind of like that. But the thing is, many at the local level are not so thrilled about SB 4.
And law enforcement in El Paso, they say this places them in an especially tough bind.
If SB 4 comes along, we've got ourselves caught in a little bit of a conundrum.
So here's the conundrum. If an officer, for example, is talking to a victim of domestic violence under SB 4, they would have to ask that victim to show them their papers. The El Paso police are afraid that forcing their officers to do ICE's job will make people stop trusting them, stop letting them know when there are drug deals or any other illegal activity. They say that enforcing SB 4 makes it very difficult to do their job. Plus, if they don't enforce it, officers can be fired or even charged with a misdemeanor. And so the county of El Paso filed suit against the state of Texas over the bill. Their argument? Their job depends on trust. And requiring El Paso law enforcement to help step into the role of immigration officers corrodes that trust. On top of all that, Flores says law enforcement here can't comply entirely with SB 4. Back in 2006, the county of El Paso settled a federal lawsuit, and as part of the settlement, El Paso County adopted a new policy where police officers can't ask citizens about their immigration status.
Because now it's like, well, you know, you've got the settlement that we agreed to, and then you've got this new law that says this is what we're supposed to do, and we're stuck somewhere in the middle.
So in other words, whatever El Paso County law enforcement does, they'll be in trouble. If they refuse to follow SB4, the state could take away their funding. If they start pulling people over and asking them about their immigration status, they could be sued again.
But there's a bigger issue at play here, and one that extends beyond policy. It's at the heart of the city's identity as a border community.
We have a very interdependent relationship with our sister city, Ciudad Juarez. There's an old saying, when Juarez sneezes, El Paso catches a cold.
That's Veronica Escobar. She's the county judge here in El Paso. And we meet her on her front porch of her house with cicadas loudly chattering all around. She's really well-versed in the particular relationship that Ciudad Juarez has with El Paso. It's this close relationship, Escobar says, that makes some local officials balk at the idea that more enforcement along the border is actually needed.
When you see the hysterics that are coming from Washington, D.C. and from other parts of the country with regard to the border and border security, it is very frustrating. Our own governor on the stage during a Republican debate claimed that there were bombs going off on the streets of El Paso, which was just false, could not be further from the truth.
Escobar says SB4 threatens the social fabric of the community here.
By eroding the relationship that exists between law enforcement and the immigrant community, we all know that's the target. We all know the motivation behind this is racism.
And according to some in El Paso, even before the proposal of SB4, immigration enforcement efforts have escalated in the Trump era. There have been reports of ICE agents entering courthouses and other areas once deemed off-limits, what the DHS refers to as sensitive locations. Recently, a woman was removed from an El Paso County courthouse while filing a protective order.
In some respects, it feels like the legislature wants to fundamentally change our DNA and who we are.
They now can go into courthouses or start arresting witnesses or victims of abuse. I mean, that was always not in the table.
That's Fernando Garcia. He's the executive director for a nonprofit called the Border Network for Human Rights. It's been around for more than 20 years. It's late in the afternoon when we arrive at their offices. 50 people crowd into a meeting room to discuss plans for an event protesting SB4. I ask him what he makes of the stories of ICE agents removing people from these so-called sensitive locations.
The perception of our communities is that the raids have already started. If ICE cannot be prevented from entering the courthouse, I mean, they can enter my home. Children, we're talking about the potential deportation of their parents.
So community advocates like Garcia argue that SB4 will foment panic, feed fear of police in general, and therefore make cities less safe. Also, it's just causing confusion. The El Paso Police Department says it already cooperates with immigration agents.
Commander Flores, who you heard from earlier, says that El Paso has always honored ICE requests to hold individuals in their jails. And they'll hold someone up to 48 hours if federal agents want to interview that inmate. Flores says that the El Paso Police Department has a long history of cooperating with ICE, with Border Patrol, and with other federal immigration agents. So he says, it's not about not being a team player.
It might seem, you know, looking at you with your sheriff's badge and your patches, your sheriff's office patches, and it might seem that people say, wait a second, why is Commander Flores not supporting the law of the land?
Every community has its set of dynamics. And El Paso being a border community, first and foremost, we're not a sanctuary city. We've always come forward and cooperated with federal law enforcement when it comes to the enforcement of immigration law. But we were very, very clear in defining that line, and that's your responsibility as a federal agency. You handle that. We're going to handle the public safety aspect of our community. We've got people who come across the border to work. On both sides of the border, we've got several people from El Paso who go to Mexico, and a lot of people don't take that into consideration either.
And that's actually what we saw, Jonathan, as we spent a couple of days in El Paso. I mean, these two cities are inextricably linked.
Sort of reminds me, Maria, of what Judge Escobar said about that old saying in West Texas, when Juarez sneezes, El Paso catches a cold. It's almost like these two cities share one heartbeat. And most of the people we spoke to for this story would like to keep it that way.
Thanks to Jonathan Hirsch for his reporting on that story.